Hey guys, Working Class Bowhunter Podcast once again. Myself, Kurt Geyer, and
Austin Chandler.
We're doing the intros for the ATA episodes. So the ATA episodes are usually a little bit shorter episodes like that. So, and we're probably going to use, we're going to rapid blast these. So if this is the first one in the batch you're listening to, or in the middle of the batch ATA episodes, you know, we're using the same intro for all of them because they're kind of quick in your face episodes and, just, you know, certain products or stories or whatever it may be that we recorded on. But ATA was a good time this year. We had a ton of fun, get to see all our buddies. Doug rode the bull at PBR, had his make hunting great again moment. I mean, what else happened? There's a bunch of stuff going on. Some good meetings. We recorded a bunch of good podcasts.
I got to shake hands with some guys we'd never met before, got to maintain a bunch of existing relationships, and had a great time at ATA. Always look forward to that show.
It is a good time, man. And I always think, like, man, I don't know if we're going to do ATA this year. And then after we do it, I'm always glad.
It's always fun.
Always fun. Clint Casper came down. Our good buddy Todd Anderson came and hung out for a little bit. We just had a good time, man. Yeah. Positive vibes. Literally, I couldn't name one negative thing that happened if I had to. A lot of bums in Louisville.
That was the negative,
That's
I guess.
The negative.
Yeah, it was cold, but we got to eat some Krispy Kremes and ate some good barbecue one night. There's always good food down there.
Yeah, it was a good time all around. So if it's the same type of intro on all these ATA ones, we just figured that, you know, they're shorter episodes. We, you know, it gets the point across. And real quick, we just want to thank our partners. And we want to thank you guys for listening to our ads and supporting what we do and supporting our partners because they support us. And if they support us for as wild as we are sometimes, to me, I think that says they're pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Elite Archery, Big Tine, Scent Crusher, Old Barn Taxidermy, Camo Fire, Loophole Optics, HHA and HHA USA, Thermacy, Victory Arrows, Huntworth, Slick Trick, Spy Point Cams, Novix tree stands, and of course there's some more in there that are coming, or you know, that we're working with and that'll be popping back up in the year. But yeah, man, we just appreciate all you guys and supporting what we do, and you know, anybody that came up and talked to us at ATA was very flattering and very, very weird for us, but we appreciate it, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So let's just get to these. We'll cut the BS. Hope you enjoy them. Hope you want to check out some of these products. And yeah, Rapid Fire Blast, the podcast. 3-shot burst. Hope you like it.
Well, boys, first podcast of ATA,
and I feel 2022.
Like, yeah, 2020. We didn't get to do ATA last year, really.
Nope. Yep.
They did it virtually, but Kurt Geyer here.
Eric Common.
Austin Chandler.
And our guest.
Darren Yoder.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
Chase threw you into the wolves with us, I think, on this one.
That's all right. That's all right.
So, but it's kind of funny because, Austin, you guys met a few weeks ago with the Hunt Wars crew, right? That's how all that go down? Because you guys didn't know each other at all prior to that, right?
No.
Nope. So basically, yeah, Hunt Wars got a hold of me and Baku, and they're like, hey, we're doing a hunt with you guys, so call Austin. That's exactly the way it went. So that's
kind of,
I think that's kind of the way, and we've never met, so, and I don't meet a stranger, so it kind of.
Well, it didn't take long to establish a connection there. You got a couple farm boys from the Midwest that love to hunt big whitetails, so we hit it off right off the bat.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah. And then the boys there are using your products, which I'm not real familiar with, but I definitely know of them from Hunt Wars and, you know, working with Redline Marketing. Yep. But I'm a big e-bike advocate after this past season. Like, I think I hunted one time for whitetails without it, and I've kind of been on a rampage about how much I love e-bikes. It's one of those things I didn't think I was going to love it.
You don't know you need it until you use it.
Right.
It's a phenomenal tool. I've become that guy that's I can't do without one. It sounds kind of crazy, but once you have that tool, you just
I think a lot of people compare them to like four-wheeler or e-bike, like, what if I could buy a four-wheeler for about the same prices? And but they don't
do the same thing.
No. They don't do the same thing, because the guys that say that just don't know, because they probably just never used one for that purpose. But So, like, talking with Chase, I became this big – I was like a BMX kid, became an e-bike guy all of a sudden for hunting. And then talking to Chase about some of your setups mm-hmm. for the e-bikes that you have, like the accessories, mm-hmm. I was looking for a way to easily transport my bike because they weigh – I mean, some of them – what's the average weight of an e-bike?
75 to 80 pounds.
Yeah. That's heavy, yeah. Really heavy.
They are
to heavy. Get them in the back yeah. of a pickup is kind of mm-hmm. – it can be a pain in the butt mm-hmm. if you're by yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was looking up regular bike racks and stuff and to find – one that's rated for the weight of an e-bike is like impossible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then there's not one like designed for a hunting application for what you need. So then talking with Chase about what you guys are doing, I'm like, oh, dude, this is going to be nuts because this is what I've been looking for.
Right.
Yep.
So if you want to, wherever you want to start.
Sure, sure. So basically our concept with we have 4Runner blinds, and you know that's a mobile concept of getting a blind out there that's sturdy and be able to move around because I'm a wind guy and I'm a guy that likes to move. I mean, I think I've told Austin before, I just like to kill stuff. sound kind of rude, but I just like to kill stuff. So yeah. So in my mind, you know, when we build these products, it's like what helps Darren be successful or other people that are part of mm-hmm. of my family, my kids, everybody, help them be successful. Not only that, to on the ground blind thing, I guess, before we get into the trailer deal, you know, there is nothing more adrenaline pumping than having a deer look at you 30, 45 yards from you.
Yeah.
And it's a buck, doe, whatever. I mean, that's in your sight zone, and you got to pull that off.
Yeah. Face to face,
yep. Man. It's an MMA fight.
Yeah, right.
It is. It's going to go down. It's either going to work out or you're going to blow it one
right,
or the other.
Right.
So that's kind of Darren Yoder style a little bit. I'm kind of weird about that stuff. I like to just – that's part of my lifestyle from buck and bull stuff to everything else. You know, you kind of live on that edge anyway. So
right. mm-hmm.
anyway, but so, you know, we got that product, and I was always trying to – I wanted to come up with a product that we can pull game out, transport my e-bike. So we come up mm-hmm. with the Alpaca Transport line is what we call it, and basically it'll carry two e-bikes, and you slide it to the receiver hitch of your SUV, your truck, whatever.
Cars anymore?
Cars, yeah. Cars, and then the wheels will flip up. It's got a extendable tongue, so you can pull that out to carry a canoe, kayak, all kinds of sources, you know, different stuff. I mean, it's kind of endless on what you can use it with. And, yeah, you just pull it out and hook it on the back of your e-bike with our hookup hitch and roll with it. So,
And I think probably the question that's going to pop up is, like, an e-bike can pull a deer out?
Mm-hmm.
We used it on two of them there for the Hunt War shows. It's incredible what you can do with those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know with the brand of bikes that we're using, they have 161 foot-pounds of torque.
Right.
That's a lot of torque.
Yep.
Even if you, and I told Austin too, I think we've talked about it, even if you have to walk it out, and you don't feel like getting on the bike, or you're kind of, you know, you're an older person, which is fine, you know, let that bike do the walk out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole lot. I want to be a smart hunter, but I'm kind of lazy too.
You know? right.
You know,
hey, I'm out of shape. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's
kind of
the
help.
So you've got a bike that's, you know, you've got a bike there. You've got a trailer that's what, 16 inches off the ground. You can flip your deer on, and I mean, hook it on and go.
Oh, it was slick.
It'll let the tool do its work for you. So
I always joke around and say I get like 12 hernias a year mm-hmm. during deer season from like just lifting deer mm-hmm. like an asshole, mm-hmm. just because I'm just like, let's get this thing out of here.
Yeah.
And then I try
to throw the bag of the truck by yourself.
Oh yeah. Well, you're dead. And I'm the same way, Kurt. Bear hugging something and you're flopping it up on a truck or something like that. You
and
know,
it always and, falls off.
It
at least twice.
And then you have a raging cussing fit, and you know.
Yeah. Then your intestines hurt really weird.
Exactly. No. But that's kind of where the trailer aspect, the Alpaca, started from. So that's something I've been working on for about a year. And then
you can get it with its own shock system.
Yep. So it's independent shock system on it. So it goes over bumps, say all, which, Austin, you would have seen that. that, yeah, it just floats across.
It's pretty slick.
It's genius, actually.
I like how much thought went into it, you know, just making it go into your receiver and the wheels fold up, and then you can use it as the bike storage or a deer rack. Or, you know, it's very versatile.
And then, you know, I got guys that, you know, it's not even – so I've got a couple buddies that, yeah, they have – K&Ms and all that stuff, and they're like, we just want one of them so I don't have to lift that deer on the bike. Like, they can actually pick that trailer up, set in the back of their K&M, run out there, and throw their deer on the trailer without even busting a gut. So, you know, it's kind of evolved to that thing, or even the lake house. I've got a couple guys that got them at the lake house now, just to carry wood around to the fireplace.
And awesome for that. I would use all the time. Like, I didn't think about just, I already have a side-by-side.
Sure.
I didn't think about, like, the additional accessory use for that. I don't know. This is, seeing this stuff gets me, I don't know. It's hard to get me excited now for every ATA, because I feel like it's kind of the same products, but, like, maybe a little twist on things here and there. But this is a, you know, more specific use application for hunting.
I get excited like this stuff because I'm a welder fabricator for my day job. So I'm looking at it like, man, they put some thought into this thing.
You could probably teach me something, because I'm just kind of a shop junkie. So
Well, this is one of those things that gets me excited, because it's like I will have a, like, almost daily practical use for something like this, rather than just buying something and maybe using it once a year. I'm hard on the e-bikes, so I'd be hard on all that stuff. But I'm using it. You know, I'm actually using it. So.
And I had a couple guys here the other day told me, hey, you know, you, even in California, taking surfboards out to the beach, you know, stuff like that, you know, that all can happen on that trailer.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. You probably don't advise this, but I can already see I'm going to get one of those and put a thermos seat in it, put my daughter in there and buzz around the yard with her in the back.
I'll let you do what you want to do.
Put a ratchet strap over her lap.
I can get a racing seat from there work, and we can strap it on there and haul each other around.
There we go. See how we can get hurt with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you do have another product out that we haven't talked about yet that made me smile. So what's the name of the golf bag holder?
I was just going to bring that up. I don't know if we can talk about it or not, because we've seen it on the floor yesterday.
We call that the Alpaca Mini Golf. So I've got an accessory that slips on the back of our hookup hitches. And it's got two beer cooler holders on it.
Most important feature you have.
Yes, that's, and they're chrome too, Austin.
I saw it. I was checking it out.
Did you? Okay.
Oh, yeah, we looked at it.
Yeah, I didn't know if you see it. So, yeah, it's got two chrome beer holders on it, you know, or whatever, and then you put your golf bag on there and go golfing. The funny thing with that whole deal, some buddies of mine were talking about that, like, they go golfing. I don't do a lot of golfing anyway, and they're like, man, if you could figure out how to get that bike on the golf course. And I said we can do that. And they're like, no you can't. I said, yeah we can. So I went and out in the shop, there again, the junkie that I am, and welded a bunch of stuff up, cut some stuff out, and the first one didn't look very pretty. These are very pretty now. But anyway, long story short, they work very good to run your golf clubs around. But we have discovered that I've had guys take them to Montana, New Mexico on elk hunts, and man, you can put a quarter on that sucker and go.
Yeah.
And then you got...
Whoa.
It blows your mind. Like we're talking shed season, elk antlers, all kinds of stuff. You strap that on the back of that bike like that.
Mm-hmm. Then that too, you don't have to worry about the trailer behind you if you're in the mountains.
You don't have to worry about
the
trailer.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is...
I had my brother, my brother and a couple of his buddies went to Montana, and I don't know if I told Austin this or not, but they went up to some high grizzly country and took fence posts and electric wire and everything to set up around the camp, packed it all in the back of that mini alpaca.
Oh, damn.
Went right up the mountain with it and had all the posts and wire and everything strapped to
the uses that you can do with, like, e-bikes and now, like, this accessory line is insane.
It's crazy how much shit.
And that's kind of what drives me a little bit is, because it's stuff that I want to use, and if I want to use it, I hope somebody else wants to use it. And I just want to get people out there and have a fun time with no stress. I feel it's stressful. I shouldn't say it's stressful, but it's stressful a little bit to kill something anyway. I mean, they're a wild animal. That's what God created them to be, was to be wild. And you know, you got
survive.
You got a lot of factors that go into that.
A lot of pressure.
And shoot, if I can pack something up there that makes things a little easier for this out of shape guy.
Right.
I want to do it. So yeah, that's just kind of.
Well, not only that, like the bear setup thing, that's just, that's a little extra added security because you want, sometimes that's where the big animals live, is where there's grizzlies. Yep. And if you can, I don't know, I never thought of like uses like that. Mm-hmm. I'm always just thinking like, whitetail based, like in and out to my spot, like entry and exit is quiet, and then getting the deer out conveniently. All this extra stuff is new to me.
Yeah, I had it so, and which my brother was, they actually warned him. They said, man, you when he drew that tag, they're like, you're going in a big grizzly country, just actually, you know, be careful about that. So, yeah, I packed a solar charger in there and put it in buckets, and they had wire and post, and went up, set up camp, and had no problem. I mean, they had bears all over them, but they wouldn't come into camp. And
that's awesome.
So yeah, just kind of that stuff. And then, you know, I had a buddy the other day, you know, he got a set up, and he puts buckets on there with his mineral and stuff and buzzes out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just there's different
aspects.
Didn't
even think about that for, like, big-time stuff, you know, to get it out there.
Yeah.
It'd be just, so much easier to carry a bag
stuff,
at a time.
You know, and you could strap a 50-pound bag on there, you know. You there'll be a trick to it. You're going to learn. You're going to have to balance your bike and different stuff like that.
Sure,
but it's stuff that can be done, and shoot.
We put people
on the moon all the time, so we can figure this stuff out.
Right.
So
that's
just kind of a deal.
If Jeff Bezos can hit get into space.
That's exactly right.
You can put a bag of big time in the back of your
e-bike. That's exactly right.
So stupid. But yeah, for some reason I never really thought of, I don't know, it's obvious now that you say it, I'm like, oh man, there's like endless uses for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not only that, it's like, just put a case of beer back there and buzz over to your buddies.
You bet.
Buzz over the neighbors.
That's the best one. Right. That's the best one.
Yeah,
put a keg on there.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. I bet you could.
Oh, man.
We're having a block party tonight, boys.
I bet you could.
Tap up by your handlebars.
Yeah.
How good do the beer holders actually work when you're buzzing down the road?
They work very good. You can ask Chase about that, too. Chase would have a little.
He's done a little drinking and driving.
I would say so.
Drinking and riding.
This is the thing, though, because Kurt wants to try golfing, but I think we can get him going if we have it on his e-bike.
Well, we could do that.
Oh, yeah.
We could make it happen.
The thing is, I think I'll do more, like, screwing around on, like, the little golf hills on the bike than I will, like, actually golfing.
Our golf course is weird about bringing an e-bike on.
Yeah, what's
So we did a photo shoot at a big golf course kind of around Des Moines area, and they have no problems with them at all. In fact, we have been in contact with a couple golf courses just for management purposes. You have the golf carts. They're a higher, I don't know, maintenance maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, you put somebody on a bike, they can chase a ball one way, and another guy can go the other way. Instead of two buddies saying, well, I got to go over here, find your ball out of the weeds here, you know, and you started, you know. And that. So we've had several managers contact us about getting a fleet of bikes and actually doing that. Just because it speeds up your playthrough time and your maintenance wise and stuff like that. But no,
and they're a lot lighter than a golf cart for the grass.
You're
going to
do less structural damage.
Right.
Now, the only thing they did say, if it gets really wet, you know, we're a 4-inch tire versus a little wire tire, might hold us off. But I have had nothing but great positive feedback.
That's interesting. That makes sense.
If you have a little water, you might have that streak up your back.
You're going to have, I'll tell you probably right up front, somebody's going to be drinking a little bit too much anyway, and they're going to ditch the thing. But
OTB is what they call that over the bar.
Yeah, how many golf carts have been rolled over, though, too?
That's exactly right. I was just talking to a guy last night, and he was talking about, we were talking about funny things on golf courses, and he was talking about how he rolled two of them. Well, shoot. You know.
You ever rolled a golf cart?
So.
No, but I've seen one rolled in person, and it was scary.
Oh, really?
Well, they're so light, they just kind of blow up.
Oh, yeah. Then there's limbs sticking out. You don't know if he's under it.
That's fun. That's fun. Yeah. So you're a smart dude, obviously, with what you're making for e-bikes.
Sure.
Like, you're a practical thinker. But you're also a big buck killer.
Yeah, we try.
You're showing us some pictures of some just a stud buck that, I mean, how old was that deer when you
came? So that he was 9.
9 years old.
Yep, 9 years old. So, yeah.
Did we cover everything you want to cover as far as the accessories go?
Yeah.
I didn't want to jump too quick.
No. If you guys, look us up. We're at forerunnerblinds.com or shoot us an email or something like that. Info at forerunnerblinds. We can
Yeah, we'll link all that in the episode description, so you'll find all that.
But no, yeah. So I had an opportunity to shoot several nice deer in my lifetime. And you know, you get, I've told Austin, and you, I don't know, you get the point in your life where you shoot that great one, and I don't want to say, I've been very blessed, put it that way, very blessed, but it makes it a little easier to wait on that age class, maybe. Right. That makes sense. You know,
because
you know, you're 5'6". Well, if I give him one more year, what's he going to be like? Like, I really don't have to kill him now. As long as I'm shooting some does, got meat in the freezer for my family.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at in life right now.
Yeah, I get that.
And I like to see people have that opportunity to go out, or how can I provide that opportunity to somebody to go shoot a good deer.
Right. You know,
You're blessed enough, like me, we have big enough tracks that we can actually afford to pass some deer and probably see them the following year.
Exactly. And I don't take any of that for granted. I do not take, because there's people out there that grind it out on public, and kudos to you guys for doing that, because that is freaking awesome. That is awesome. And
for sure.
But I will say about public land, we do live in a place where we live at, we got some of the best public ground in Iowa. I mean, there's bruisers.
Kentucky, we say the other state. We don't let it.
We got beat up the other day at a bowl game, so I should be careful anyway. but anyway, we have some really, really good public ground there.
It's great about Iowa. Within 10 miles each way of my house, there's public ground
somewhere. To change it so non-residents can hunt your guys' state every year.
No.
We're good.
Well, I mean, I share the wealth, right? You guys are blessed. Well, hey, let the non-residents.
We are sharing the wealth. I'm giving you info, right? But no, getting back to my double drop suit, I chased that deer for 4 years, and you know, he was just a little bitty. The farm's about 200 acres, lived in a literally 35-acre chunk, and the night I killed him was the first time I seen him on the hoof. Of course, we had trail cam pics.
In 4 years. Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
He was a ghost. And it wasn't that I didn't try. Like, we worked. And it got to be where I would literally set up cameras, and we'd get where he'd make his rounds. And it was one of them deals. I knew every year after 3 years, he'd come back to the same alfalfa field, always the end of November. I mean, he'd rut hard, and then end of November, I'd have 4 or 5 days there where he was daylighting consistently, and which, of course, is a food thing. And, have a lot of alfalfa. We farm and raise cattle and stuff, so we have a lot of alfalfa. We need that. And I found in my life, during my life here, I guess, hunting and everything, alfalfa is king. I like corn and beans, but alfalfa, I truly believe alfalfa is king. Now, if you can get a good alfalfa patch, man, you can raise some good deer. And anyway, he would show up about the last 4 or 5 days there in November and just pound that alfalfa, and that's actually the way we killed him. And I went out, basically so back up a little bit, 2 years prior to that, when I killed him, I had a cousin of mine actually shoot him and deflected off his drop time and split his ear and went to the back of his neck. And you know,
how long
and,
did he cry for?
Oh, he was. Oh,
he probably still cries, right?
He was.
You were probably crying worse.
It was kind of funny because I kept telling him, and my brother was hunting with him too. And I was like, man, you guys can't kill that deer. I'm going to go in and you guys are off. I'm just going to go kill that deer. I said, I'll get it figured out. And I don't mean to be cocky sounding, but I was like, you guys have been on that deer. It's about my turn. So
you got your chance.
Yeah, you got your chance, you know. And so December 27th, he shed it off, and I got pictures of him, and he, you know, no horns or nothing like that.
Do you think he shed early? Just because
Because of that infection wound. And just that wound.
That makes sense.
And so then the next year, he shrunk down to basically a big monster 10. And then the following year is when he blew back up, two drop times, a bunch of trash, and just got that 220-inch frame. Just a pig. But that hunt, I'll tell you how it was a deal. So I'm facing the west, towards the west, and the sun's going down. It's about 3:30, I should say, going down, but it's setting, you know, and alfalfa's running north and south there on that. It's about a 10-acre field in a little patch of woods, and I'm set right up there on the line and had some does come out, and I mean, they're 15-20 yards from me, and they're eating, come right up by the tree, and everything's good, and I had a couple bucks. I was like, man, this is going to happen today. And I just texted Kevin, my brother, and I said, I think I'm going to kill that deer, because I had pictures of him that morning going through there.
So he's close.
So I knew he was close.
He's close.
Dude, he was within probably 300 yards of my tree where I was at. I was like, this deer's in here.
And can I go back just real quick?
Yeah.
I like where you're at. But you said in 4 years he didn't leave 35 acres. I know he probably left
eventually.
Well,
he probably did, but that was his deal.
That was his core area.
The only back, let me back up. And when he had the single drop back in 4 years, when we found that deer, he started showing up. I found him on a farm. I went back in pictures because I've got a couple other deer that's got a couple drops, and so I think they're related. So I'm a history guy, so I start digging through pictures and everything. And I went back here the other day, and we have a farm 2 miles from us. Well, back behind our place, I think I've showed you Austin our place. Back behind there, I had a deer going through, and it had one drop tine. And I pulled the picture up, and then this is in velvet, had one drop tine. I pulled the picture up, and I have another picture, and you can faintly see the other drop tine. That was that deer that I killed that year. Mm. And that was 2 miles from where I killed him.
Right. No kidding.
So that was about the farthest I know that he'd ever gone.
Mm-hmm.
But that was midsummer, July. I don't know. He was just cruising, I'm assuming.
Interesting.
And that velvet stage, too, they do weird stuff.
They do. I went back and I pulled that picture up just because we were comparing deer pictures, young stuff coming up and things that luckily that are still alive and going.
Right.
So
right.
I like to link all that stuff up.
Yeah, it's fun
deals. But yeah, so otherwise he stayed right kind of in that area. We've got, of course we got neighbors too. I guess mom is a word on that deal. So, the afternoon I killed that deer, this is how crazy it was. So the does are coming out and bucks are coming out, and I look over and everything's good, and look over to the north and have 3 coyotes coming. I'm like,
Oh, shit.
No, that's exactly right. I was like, no way. And the deer, of course, look up, do some snort, tails come up, and I was like, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
Coyotes clean the field, literally clean the field.
Pack up and go home.
I put my Ozonics away, so I use Ozonics too. And through the afternoon, though, I could hear something behind me kind of breathing deep. You could hear, not a snorting, but you could hear something was breathing, like they're smelling the ground. As they come up by your trail, or whatever, they're smelling.
Yep.
But didn't deer move because I had deer around me, and I kept kind of looking out the corner of my eye. I was like, is there a deer behind me? There's got to be something there. And
were you in a tree stand or ground blind?
Tree stand. So, been in a tree stand. And so, anyway, the does cleared out, the bucks cleared out, and then, of course, coyotes dinked around there in front of my tree stand, and it was going south. And I was halfway, I was just irritated anyway. It was about 4 o'clock, and I was like, I guess we're done. And I turned my Ozonics off, unzipped my pack, and all of a sudden I heard this. And I looked back and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Coming right up the trail. His head was down, and I could see just a monster, just a rack. He was smelling, coming all by himself. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Could you tell it was him right away?
Well, he's got that black, kind of a black-brown spot on his head. I have to show you. He's really old. And I didn't even look at the rack. I was like, oh, my goodness, there he is. And we called him Hedgeball because when we first got pictures of him, he had a hedge ball stuck in his drop time. Where I think he had a hedge ball.
I know what it is.
And it was stuck in his drop time, like back when he was younger, 3 years prior to me shooting him. There.
Yeah.
And that's he carried that around and went in front of a couple of the cameras. That's all it is. And that's what we named him.
Never seen that one before.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I reckon he was eating. I don't know. But, yeah, he had a big old ball on him.
That's hilarious.
Just scraped it in the ground or eating or something. Just stuck it.
Yeah, just stuck it, I guess.
Right on.
And
like a shish kebab.
Yeah.
We'll save that for later.
Yeah exactly. Nice. He's going to reach back and take a bite of it,
He's trying to cover up his scent.
Yeah. That was a snack. But actually, we got a bunch of hedge trees around there. And the hedge balls were dropping and stuff. And I reckon that's all his scrapes. And he was just,
Yeah, that's
around.
Hilarious, though.
But that, so we named him hedge is what we call him, hedge balls. So anyway, long story short, I reached over, grabbed my bow, and I was like, Yoder, you cannot mess this up. Don't even look. Don't breathe. And I clearly, because I'm kind of that weird way, I guess, and I don't know, if you hunt some big deer like that, it's like they got a sixth sense, they are wired a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And
they can like feel that you're there in a weird way.
It's unbelievable.
Feel your presence.
Yeah, it is. And so as he's coming up and I'm like, oh my goodness, he's going to come within 5 yards of my tree stand here. And I've never seen this deer, like, literally in person. This is quite a deal. And I look back, I grab my bow, and I'm just holding it. I close my eyes and just listen. And I thought, as soon as I hear the crunch and stop or go by my tree, I'm going to swing over, because he's literally right there. So I pull back and I wait, and he stopped. And I thought, oh, good Lord.
Is he looking at me?
Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Because, you know, that's going through my mind. And I waited just a little bit. And I'm at full draw, just waiting for him. And he starts walking and walked like 2 or 3 more steps and stopped. And I could tell, sound-wise, he's to my right and probably, you know, he's not looking at me. He's looking out the field. And I literally opened my eyes, and he was right there. And I just went, and I mean, he just dropped. It went through his heart, right out, right below his back, come out his heart. And he went 2 steps and just fell over.
Right there. Kidding?
Like, oh, dude, he just blew right out his heart.
You had been freaking out. Did you jump out of the tree or
what? Dude, I was so, of course, you know, he's sitting
there. I
would
chuck my bow as far as I could do it.
That's one of those bow spike moments I talked about.
Yep.
I talked about, like, you have that type of moment. You killed the biggest tree you ever kill. You just take it by the bottom limb and just frisbee that thing into the woods.
It gets better than this. So this
boomerang it.
It almost got like that. So anyway, he's over there, and of course, you know, I finished it. I mean, he died like he was doing his death deal, you know. And I was like, is he going to get up? I better put another one in him. And
I've done the same thing.
I put another one in him, and not like I'm a horrible guy here, I guess. I'm just
human.
But it's like, is he going to get up? I mean, I was shaking so bad because I had worked so hard for this deer.
Yeah.
And it was funny of course, my phone was dead. And, of course, I come down of the tree, you know, and you ball like a baby and all that stuff. And it's like, oh, my, you know, you've got this deer here. So, of course, my phone was dead. So I went home and got my brother. And he's like, he looked at me. I come flying in the driveway. He goes, you killed him, didn't you? And I said, yep.
Oh, and I bet you're doing 1,000 miles an hour down the driveway.
Dude. Which at that time we drive old farm trucks. And I know I went sideways coming in the driveway. You know, it's just one of them deals. So So he jumps in the truck with me. He pulls up there. He goes, well, looks like you made a pincushion out of them, you know.
Yeah, right.
I had a couple arrows. The one of you, and I stuck another one in them. And yeah,
dude, I'm not going to lie. I would have double tapped, too.
Well, yeah.
When in doubt, double tap.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I like it.
That's awesome.
But, no, that's a little story of one of the hunting opportunities that I've been part of in my life. If you ever get to that opportunity, I'm a very lucky, blessed, fortunate guy because I know there's a lot of people that won't get that opportunity, but yeah, I don't take it for granted.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
Take it for granted.
Fun to meet like-minded guys, and as soon as I shook his hand and started talking to him, I could tell he's just ate up with it like we are.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
For sure.
I've had some weird this fall. I shot a nice management buck off of one of my farms, and just a weird shady come 30. He was kind of a bully buck chasing a bigger buck around, so I chose to take him out, and he come 30 yards, and I throttled him. He run 30 yards and fell over kind of behind a pile of brush, and I don't know, it was about 4 o'clock. My brother was hunting over a hill there on an alfalfa field, and he texts me and goes, oh, I texted him. I said, are you rattling? I mean, it would just crash.
Yeah.
I said, he goes, no. He said, I thought that's you. I said, dude, that ain't me. And I looked over, and the big buck that I wanted to kill had come back and locked horns with my dead buck on
in the
timber. Dude, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he was thrashing around. Actually got unlocked and was dragging him through the timber there, you know, so I couldn't get out of my tree stand.
I was going to run away with my buck.
Did I tell you that story, Austin?
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, are you serious? I was like,
start chasing. He's going to steal my buck.
Yeah.
Hold up.
That's actually what I thought, Eric. I was like, is this guy going to take off my deer? What's going on here?
How far did he drag him?
Oh, he drug him a good 30 yards. He was hooked up.
Just dead weight, too.
And so I was like, well, there's that deer's picking on my deer. So I jumped. I literally got out of my tree stand, grabbed my stuff, and I went running down through. I thought, oh, I got to get him out. And he kind of seen me, and he was hooked up and couldn't get away.
Yeah.
And he started dragging it further. Well, then so I've got a picture of a deer I'll show you guys, but I think it's the one that was hooked up. He's got a broken tine, and I'll show you pictures after the podcast.
So you didn't have another tag at that time?
I did. and I was shaking so much I shot right over the back of
him. Oh, you did?
You're going to leave that part out,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. I did have another turn.
I was. Hey. Thank you, Kurt, for doing that. Okay. I appreciate that. Sorry. See, I am human.
I'm done here.
Hey, just saying, that would have made this story so much better if you shot him locked up.
Dude,
people would have hated you for it, too, in a weird way,
I know. And just for the record, I did text my brother and say, hey, get down here. You can shoot this deer.
I'm sure you did.
And I did. I said, dude, get down here. I said, this deer. I said,
after he missed.
This is before. The funny thing about it was, screw it.
I'll do it.
Yeah. And then I missed him and went right over his back. Oh. And that's when he did the old shake and it snapped and he took off. And I was like, yeah, I guess.
That's
I
wild.
Cool selfish. Experience.
But anyway, that's a wild story we had this wow. year. So,
that's hilarious. Yeah.
That's awesome.
After you missed, text him, hey, get down here, man.
Hey, can you come shoot this bug? Why did you shoot him? Yeah. I ran out of arrows.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's
so
awesome.
It just shows you that I am human. So,
it's all good.
And only Kurt would have to bring that up. So.
That's my job.
I love it.
That's it. I'm like, man, you could have shot that other deer. He like left it all out. It's hilarious. Yeah.
It's all good. I don't shoot. I miss more deer than I probably hit. So
yeah.
I'm human.
So it happens. What kind of mount did you do on the big one? I always like to. I'm getting into like taxidermy questions. I'm just curious what guys do.
So I had a close friend of mine. He's on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
He was dying of cancer, and he never mounted anything that big, and, mm-hmm. and I gave him the opportunity to do that. And lived in Arkansas, and he won Arkansas State Taxidermy and Mississippi State Taxidermy.
Cool.
Took him around. It was just a little thing. I wanted him to experience that, and he mm-hmm. never experienced that in his life. And
very cool.
And he's like, dude, you serious? I said, do your work, man. And you got the water droplets coming out of his nose, dude. It is jacked up.
That's awesome.
It's jacked up. It's a half turn on his, you know, he's turning and. It's jacked
up. Did you put any hedge balls around the mount?
No, I got my arrow stuck in there, and so it's on an old post.
All five of them?
No, it wasn't all those. But yeah, I've got my arrow stuck in there because that's where that arrow goes. And then
just a loaded quiver.
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm not a bow junkie like some guys are, but you know, I get along with what I got, and it was an old bear bow that had given to me, and I've shot so many great deer with that bow, and everybody's like, why don't you get rid of that bow? And you know, I've got Matthews and stuff like that. I said, dude, that bow was like, that's sacred.
Yeah.
I ain't going anywhere.
It's like an old farm truck.
It
when you've been driving,
I mean,
it for so
long.
Too much
luck on that. You can't get rid of
that's
it.
That's the deal. You can't get rid of it. So I've got it hung up. And it's just, I mean, I'm kind of sentimental about some of that stuff.
I am too. I'm the same
just,
way.
It, you know, you kill them great deer, and that deer is, that's not the only deer that Bo's killed. It's killed several of my other good deer. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been fortunate to shoot several drop-time bucks. And we got a buck that we call an anniversary buck. So I was supposed to take my wife out for our anniversary, and it was all going to be good.
So you got married during deer season, what you're telling us.
Mm-hmm. October 4th. It was planned out, you know. It was really thought out. So.
Yeah.
October 4th. It's all good. It's all no offense. You're so good. So anyway, it was early in the afternoon. I told her, I said, she goes, well, let's go out. We got a local restaurant there, and we'll go grab steak or something. I said, yeah, whatever. That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. So we just. Yeah.
After the hunt.
This is, thank you, Austin. After the hunt. But what I didn't realize is, and I knew this nice drop, he was coming out, and he was my first drop time that I've ever shot. And like he goes 176, something like that. And shoot, I was there again. I was looking at my watch. Well, it's about, you know, I should be getting home. And this is actually October 4th. And, so I was getting out of my tree stand and look over. Here comes this buck. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So my brother would tell you guys too if he was here. Like, I've been able to pull off some stuff. So I just kneeled on the ground. This deer literally walked 20 yards around the tree, and I just pulled back and let him have it.
Right off the ground.
So let him have it. Well, then I shot a deer and I had to call my wonderful wife and said, hey, hon, we might be a little late. And she was all good about it about 8 o'clock though. But
bless her heart.
Yeah, she was all good about it.
That's awesome.
We're gonna put dinner off for a little bit.
Yeah, I have a great
See,
wife,
if you would have had your whole setup, your system back then, I don't know how long ago that was, but
that was several years ago. Oh yeah, it would have been
It would have been a big deal.
Yeah, it would have been, wouldn't have been no big deal at all. And that's kind of where my ideas are, just trying to build stuff to be more efficient or, you know. And I'm a family guy and a friend guy. I love hanging out with dudes and taking kids out. And I just like to do that stuff. And it's kind of where my life is right now. It's just, I almost get more satisfaction doing that than actually getting, I can kill a doe all day long as far as I'm concerned. Really, I've had great opportunities, and I know I'll get more opportunities, but man, it's about this next generation or getting people out there. Because if we don't, as an industry, we can kiss this thing goodbye. That's the way I feel about it. Yep. So,
no, I think that's spot on,
that's
too.
Just the deal.
Well, you got a bunch of awesome stories, man. I think you probably do for a visit to our actual studio where we can have unlimited time to just BS and drink a couple beers. And
that'd be fun.
Right way.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
The trade show ATA podcasts are fun, but we're always constricted by time here. So those ones we can cut back and just get into every detail and any story we want. So it's a lot more fun. But this is still fun.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. So
yeah, of course.
Thanks
for sharing the products and the deer stories. Yeah. The deer stories are fun.
Yeah,
so,
you betcha.
Awesome. Well, if anybody wants to find you anywhere, where can they locate you?
Basically, if you're here at the show, we're at booth 3949. Otherwise, shoot me an email at info@forerunblinds.com. Look us up on that. We're on Instagram, Facebook, that stuff. So
look it up on the Googles.
Look it up on the Google machine. Yep.
We'll tag all that stuff on this episode so it's easy for people to find.
Yeah. So I'm out there. I try to lead kind of a quiet life. You guys are probably, that's kind of a joke, but anyway, I try to mind my business. So I'm not throwing pictures out there all over the place. So it's kind of hard to find me a little bit. But
hey, that's not so bad.
There's emails. So
hey, the internet's the devil.
It can be.
It's the devil.
It can be. Well, awesome, man. Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Go shoot your bow. We love you.